This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Seth Voorhees is the author of a post-apocalyptic suspense novel called Immune. Seth joins us from Rapid City, South Dakota via Riverside.com. Hi, Seth.
Hi, how's it going?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
No problem.
This is a story that I understand deals with a deadly virus.
Yes, it's a pandemic narrative. It has a lot of twists and turns, has kind of a little bit of a zombie narrative with it as well. However, that's not the main theme of the story. Because when I wrote it, that was when Walking Dead was popular and, you know, Fear of the Walking Dead. And so I didn't want to go totally in that direction. So I have it in the book where they come out of the zombie phase and they remember everything that society did to them. So there's a lot of clashes between the immune who didn't get infected because they were immune because of their blood type, A positive, and then the inflicted, that's the group eventually developed after they come out of the zombie phase, and they just rebuild society, the inflicted do, and it just, yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns in that regard. I kind of tell people it's kind of like the House of Cards towards at some point.
When did you start writing this novel? And the reason I ask the question is, did it have anything to do with the pandemic that we went through?
No, actually. I put in a lot of thought into it, but one of the original thoughts came from swine flu. When that was going on, and I thought, you know, how weird would it be if you were like a certain blood type and you were immune to it and you had to watch everyone else kind of suffer? How would that affect you? It was released in December of 2019, so actually 2 months right before COVID came. So it's really bad timing, actually. I can remember being at the gym after it was released and there was a news report on, you know, the bank of TVs that they have, and there was researchers talking about maybe thinking that a blood type had to do with COVID, and I was just sitting there going, man, that's freaky.
When you first heard about that and your book coming out, did you think it was, I mean, from your perspective, did you think it was bad timing, or did you think it might have been great timing?
You know, that's a good question. I thought of it both ways, because I also remember there was another novel, it was a British novel, I believe, and he had written it. I can't remember the author now, but I remember he had a pandemic story about, wasn't it like London getting locked down, and he had a lot of success. So yeah, maybe just depending on the perspective. I think at the time a lot of people weren't really interested in wanting to read about a pandemic just because they were going through one, but you know, it's on its second edition now, so hopefully maybe we can capture a little more attention now that, you know, the pandemic's kind of decreased and everyone goes, oh, okay, well, now I'm more interested in reading about it.
You describe yourself as a writer of dark fiction. Do you consider yourself a dark person?
No, not really. I'm actually very warm and very caring. I don't know where that started. In fact, I've worked, currently with Lutheran Social Services, and I've worked in that field for a really long time. I've always worked with troubled youth, 10 to 19. I've always been helpful, helping other people. I can't tell you how that really got started. I think it had to do a lot with Goosebumps, for those who had that same type of childhood I did, where, you know, you just kind of fell in love with those stories. And yeah, I don't know. I've always been drawn to it, even as a young man.
You mentioned earlier that this was a situation where there are the inflicted and there are the immune. It sounds like this is a story where the hunted becomes, for lack of a better term, revengeful.
A little bit, yeah. There's a little back and forth between the sides gaining the advantage. First you have the inflicted, who aren't even called the inflicted. They're just the ones who are getting the virus and getting sick. And then they find out who's immune, and then the immune have to go through certain parts in the story where they are trying to, you know, like they donate blood and they do things to kind of help the inflicted, but the pandemic gets going too much. And then there's eventually society crumbles, and then, you know, immune are kind of on top for a little bit. And then, like I said, a little bit of a zombie narrative comes back into the story. And then eventually the inflicted come out of the zombie phase, and then they take over and actually rebuild society and rebuild the government. And then it's the Immune whose turn now to be kind of prosecuted. And so, yeah, there's a lot of warring factions that just go back and forth. There's terrorist organizations that get formed who want to, you know, not have the Inflicted in power anymore. I have one character who I really, even though she's a secondary character, I fell in love with her. Her name was Helen Olsen. She's actually a member. She winds up getting the virus, being part of the Inflicted, but her partner, Tamara, is immune. And they spend a lot of the story going back and forth with those clashes as well. Like having when one is going, or when one is kind of got the upper hand, the one of them has to hide the other. And eventually Helen becomes the director of what will become the replacement for the CIA while still having to hold or keeping Tamara a secret. So there's a lot of back and forth with that.
You mentioned that this secondary character is the one you fell in love with. Is that something that happens when you go through the writing process? You either fall in love or out of love with a particular character that you've created?
For me, it does. I don't know about other authors. But yeah, I have a tendency to really love all of the characters. And so that book, Immune, was really my first... Well, it was my second published novel, but it was the first novel that I actually wrote. And so I made the mistake of falling too in love with Helen and probably made her a little more interesting than Wyatt, who's the main character. And yeah, I had a great editor who's done professional editing his whole life, even for like New York editing services, and even told me, said, it's a great mistake for your first book, but don't do that too often, because yeah, people want to fall in love with the main character. But still, both characters are great. But yeah, I fall in love with secondary characters all the time. And I think when you read a lot of great books, you have that as well. Anytime I read a story, I'm always like, you know, I wish they had more of this character.
You earned a Bachelor of Science degree in sociology and psychology. So how did you get into the writing field? And does any of your background educationally work its way into your stories?
Sometimes it does. I would say with Immune, maybe a little bit of the psychological aspect, maybe some social psychology definitely went in there. I would say more with the projects I have going on right now. I have two going on. I'd say even more with those two stories that I hope will get done here soon, hopefully in the next year or so. But yes, it does play a part. It does go in. I've always been, yeah, when I studied sociology, I loved theory and I loved how just all those avenues about society and just, you know, what we do just, yeah, as a class and all of that stuff. Yeah, I won't bore you with all the theories I love.
How did you come to being a writer?
So as I mentioned before, I went to loving the Goosebumps books when I was young, and I loved them so much. I've always been a storyteller to begin with, even before I really got to the age where I could read. I always had an active imagination. And so after Goosebumps, reading those, I even sat down with a piece of paper and I wrote a bunch of titles to books, and I tried to write. I mean, you know, I was young, you know, probably, you know, middle school and stuff, so I didn't get fully invested as I could have. And then my first short actual novel that I wrote was my senior year of high school. It was called The Chronicles of Clark, and that was the first novel I ever wrote. Now, I'll be honest with you, once I got out of college and I started down the career field, I took a little bit of a break with fiction writing, even though stories were always coming to me and, you know, maybe I'd write here and there. But I really didn't take it really seriously until about 9 years ago, I'd say, when I was, you know, I was 32, I believe. I'm 40 now, so yeah, 9 years. So I really picked it back up then, which was great and awesome. I think, you know, just as you get older, you just want more interests and more things to do, and I picked it right back up, and I'm, you know, thinking, geez, why did I ever stop doing this? I shouldn't have. And yeah, I just re-fell in love with it.
Do you consider yourself a full-time writer now?
I guess I would like to be full-time. Right now I'm kind of part-time, I guess, because I do have two full-time jobs. I'd love it to be full-time. I mean, I do write every day and I do work on my books every day, so I guess I am full-time. I just don't get paid like a full-time author.
What are your daytime jobs?
So like I said, I work in the social work field. I also have maintenance job that I do there as well. I do building maintenance here and there with the weather. So lately it's been a lot of raking leaves. That's been the big thing.
Immune sounds like a great story that would make a cinematic feature, either that or maybe even a television show. Would you like to see your characters on either the big or small screen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love it. I think it'd be great to have that happen. I think for sure it's, and I left it very open to writing sequels as well, which is something I've been thinking about. But yeah, I'd love it to be either a movie or TV show. I think with like Helen, I was thinking of Emily Blunt would be a great actress. And then for Tamara, it'd be, I can't think of her last name, but it's Zoe. Sorry, I can't remember her last name off the top of my
head. Zoe Deschanel?
Yes, thank you. I was like, I knew it was something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I've already got the characters thought up and in my mind and who would play them and how it'd work out. Yeah, I think it'd be a great TV show at least.
The press pitch says this is not your parents' apocalypse story. How different is it from what we grew up with?
Well, like I mentioned, I think, well, for one, the coming out of the zombie phase and remembering everything that happened to them and how society had treated them, you know, and they get all their faculties back and being able to rebuild society in a, I wouldn't say a better image. They still are human and they get kind of caught up in, you know, prejudice and revenge and all of that. But I think just getting past the normal pandemic narrative of just everyone dies, like that's most pandemic narratives is, you know, you're just focusing more on the horrors of everyone dying, where I take it a step further and there's a lot of you know, just building afterwards and what happens to the society and what happens. So what's interesting is the immune, you know, the whole world gets involved, and eventually in the story Australia becomes the country, it becomes the home origin to all the immune gets sent there. And I don't want to give up too much of the story, but yeah, I definitely encompass the whole world in it, where it's all building together, where I think most narratives just focus on one country.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's called Immune. And Seth, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Seth Voorhees, author of the post-apocalyptic suspense novel Immune. You can go to our website at thestuffall.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0848, and you'll find the link to Seth's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.